Mile in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics. And Joe has taught me this last year. What answers one crisis is another one. You don't have time to worry about things that haven't happened yet. You have to race to the other one. Right now, we have doubts raised about the Federal Reserve's stay the course recommendation of these last months. Two weeks ago, it was in the conversation that Jerome Powell would stay the course. He made remarks to this effect, and that his Federal Reserve governors would agree, voting in the positive, to continue to raise interest rates indefinitely until they had achieved their 2% goal for inflation, to return to the pre-pandemic world of 2% inflation. There were numbers mentioned because they always have fun with numbers. Would it be half a point? Would it be a quarter point? How many times half a point? Will there be raises throughout the year? What needs to be done? What is the terminal rate? All these wonderful terms I'm learning from the Wall Street Journal, which I highly recommend because they follow this like a sports page. But now, because of the events of these last days, which Joe and his colleagues have very carefully explained, the role for Jerome Powell is said to be a tough decision. That's the tough language the Wall Street Journal uses now. Tough decision. Will it be a quarter point? Will it be a half point? Will it be stand pat? Will it be a speech to say we'll respond to data, whatever that means? Joe, I don't ask you to fill in the blanks. I ask you to say Jerome Powell's role has now changed. The whole world is waiting. The markets today are indicating relief, but you don't know. You know, they change their mind every 24 hours. What is the unknowns about for Jerome Powell as he looks forward the rest of the year?
Well, I think that the big problem for the Fed is that how they understand what they're doing and the effect it has on the economy has probably changed very radically over the past couple of weeks. So for the entire past year, they have been increasing interest rates and shrinking their balance sheet. They thought that what was going to happen is that they would get inflation under control by creating slack in the labor market, which is economics jargon for saying that what they wanted was to increase unemployment a little bit or slow economic growth in some way so that you could get inflation under control. And we have discussed, before, John, you and I, that the economic theory behind that is kind of suspect, but that's what they thought they were doing. Well, over the past 2 weeks, we have had yet another reminder, history is full of them, that if you have had unnecessarily loose monetary policy for too long, you can end up in a situation where once you start tightening, you will break the financial system before you break the labor market, is essentially what's happening here. These rate increases have triggered the beginnings of a repricing of a lot of assets across the economy in line with the new reality of higher interest rates and potentially somewhat higher inflation. And that process is starting to run well ahead of whatever effect the Fed thought that it might have on the labor market or GDP growth or any of the rest of it. And so his dilemma now, or the way he's going to think about it, because this is the way that the Fed models approach this kind of issue, is to think that he can either pause the rate increases or, perhaps even do a small rate hike for the sake of financial stability, or he can keep pushing on the rate increases to get inflation under control. Now, I mean, I think the problem with that is that you can't have a model that assumes that financial stability and the broader health of the economy are somehow at odds with each other. I mean, the reality is that if we had more financial stability, we would have a more stable economic growth. And unfortunately, as a legacy of the Fed's bad policies for the past really 15 years or more, we're going to have to do this painful asset repricing to get back on track with a truly stable financial system. So I think that his dilemma now is, do you put a Band-Aid on it, or do you try to, you know, brace yourself for what would probably be a more painful but ultimately more lasting treatment for this problem?
The Wall Street Journal coverage of this tough decision, imminent, includes remarks by the former Fed vice chair from 2018 to 2022, Richard Clarida. Quote, I would advise them to go ahead with the 25 basis points. If they pause, you can get into this, what do they know that we don't know? That's all expectation, right, Joe? And the market's going to be sensitive to that. So a no raise at all would just as much panic the market as a raise of half a point. Is that how to interpret that?
Well, I mean, there is a sense in which he's going to be damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, because I'm sure that there will also be a certain amount of market unhappiness with a quarter point rate increase with the 25 basis points, because that would signal that people are going to continue to experience pain on their balance sheets from the risk repricing and the rising interest rates. So I think that there is a good argument for doing a modest rate increase at this point anyway, only because inflation is far from under control. And people need to get used to the fact that interest rates are going to continue going up until inflation is under control. But I think that the Fed finds itself in a trap where, you know, because the Fed has settled into this business model where it focuses so much on its communication with the market and it judges success based on how placid the market reaction to its various policy moves, you know, might be, that he now does face partly this dilemma of his own making about whether it's better to push ahead versus whether it's better to pause. And note that this argument that former Fed Governor Clarida is making there is based not on the underlying economic merits, but on market sentiment or people's attitudes. And that is a consequence of the fact that the Fed has very explicitly been trying to shape those attitudes through its forward guidance for such a long time now.
Therefore, whatever he does, he's going to be pummeled by one side or another. The pummeling has already started, Joe. And I thought we'd mention this because the Federal Reserve is a political event, especially in an election cycle when we're anticipating the announcement by the president for his reelect. This is Elizabeth Warren, as recently as Sunday, saying he should no longer chair the Federal Reserve. The quote, he has two jobs. One is to deal with monetary policy. One is to deal with regulation. He has failed at both. I know Powell won't be influenced by this, but the White House is listening. So are the markets. Is this political noise we can push to the side, Joe, or does this pressure the Federal Reserve's decision tomorrow?
Well, I think it's worth pointing out that progressive Democrats like Senator Warren have been unhappy with Chairman Powell for a long time. And the reason almost doesn't matter because the reasons keep changing. I mean, a few months ago, Senator Warren was unhappy that she thought that he was going to cause unemployment to spike, and she thought, presumably, that he should just allow the inflation to continue running above target instead of risk higher unemployment. Now, the source of her unhappiness seems to be banking regulation, which is actually a more legitimate concern than the first one was, because the Fed has apparently failed in some of its oversight responsibilities on these banks. But I think that the key thing is that Chairman Powell has signaled that he is going to be largely immune to that kind of political complaint. But it's also worth pointing out that the political pressure is only going to grow heavier on him the deeper into this banking situation we get, if in fact we do find ourselves with more of a panic on our hands than we currently have, or if that starts leading into slower economic growth.
We were looking ahead from tomorrow's meeting, today and tomorrow. We were looking ahead as recently as 2 weeks ago. Remember that? I'm old enough to remember March 10th. We were looking ahead for not what the Fed would do this time. That was expected, half point. But what about the next and the next and the next, continuing till the end of the year? The terminal rate, I remember, Joe, there was like an over-under game. You know, will it be 5.5? Will it be 6%? The outliers said 7%. Is that all gone now? Is Mr. Powell wise to just say we'll follow the data? Is that adequate?
I think that they should have been saying all along that they were going to follow the data instead of this business of trying to play, guess the number in terms of what the terminal rate might be or what any individual rate increase might be. Because part of this broader process that we're going through of asset repricing is going to be that the market is going to have to relearn how to price the risk of future interest rate changes. We got into this jam in the first place because the Fed tried to take that risk out of the market by doing all of this forward guidance that would signal where rates were headed. I think that it would be much better for everyone if the Fed conclusively got itself out of that business and just went back to a model where they said that they would make decisions meeting by meeting in line with the data and then let the market guess about it. And then you might have more diverse market opinions about what the prices of assets should be and less of the kind of herd mentality on the course of future interest rates that seems to be creating a lot of these situations that some banks are running into problems with right now.
Was this unimagined, Joe? Because I remember repeatedly we had the conversation about low interest rates and that could cause problems up ahead. Isn't that imagining the worst case? And have we reached the worst case, or is this just a moment here? If we say they're fixed, we don't know what comes next. Which is it? Have we reached the worst case, or is there unknown ahead?
Well, I mean, the problem is that you never know. And I would very much want to hope that we have experienced the worst of this panic at this point. And I think there is grounds for optimism on that score, mainly because we haven't seen problems, with highly illiquid assets. We're not seeing problems at every bank. It seems to be a few banks that have run into particular management issues that might have contributed to these problems. So I think there is some ground for optimism. The damage is going to be limited. But against that, you have the historical fact that it has never been the case that you could distort the price of capital for a long time and then not experience pain as that unwinds. And so from that historical perspective, I do think that we need to be alert to the danger that there might be other problems out there that regulators and politicians and market participants alike are going to want to be very proactive about spotting and addressing at this point.
Long-term capital, 1998, blew up. The savings and loan in the 1980s blew up. The subprime loan in 2008 blew up. I'm mentioning that because this is part of that proverb, they're going to raise rates until something blows up. Has that happened? Is that what we've already witnessed, or is there bigger ahead of us? Can we tell?
Well, you can't tell. Again, I mean, you can certainly very fervently hope that we have experienced the worst of it. And I think that there, one thing that is a little comforting is that the banks that are running into issues at the moment, there are specific idiosyncratic management problems that made the effect of rising rates worse. And so not every bank is going to be affected in the same way by that. But everyone is facing the same risk right now.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics. And 3 years ago, right now, Joe and I were having conversations about springtime in London in the pandemic. When we come back, we'll go to 3 years ago, lessons learned, but also where was Joe 20 years ago? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.